Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday, and we just ask that you join us and participate in the Bible study for the Lord. So as we go forward, we're going to ask you to join us in devotion. We always start off with song, scripture, and prayer. So I'm going to start off with prayer, and then after that we'll have a song by Yolanda Adams, and then we'll go into a scripture, and we'll have intercessory prayer. God, we come before you. We honor you. We give you grace and ask that you bless us. We ask that as we are here, you would be with us. You watch over us and keep us. Lord, you know the enemy has been working really overtime today. And as such, we found that haven't been able to get on the radio, been on for 45 minutes, and it's just been cycling. But, Lord, you know everything about it. You know who you're trying to keep from being able to have the word tonight. You know who you're trying to bless. And so, Lord, we leave this all up to you because this is your program. This is not ours. So we trust in you. We ask that you give us revelation knowledge as we study. We ask that someone's heart might be open and they might be able to hear a word directly from the Holy Spirit, and that that might come and ask the question, what must I do to have a relationship with you? And so as we're going forward, Lord, we're leaving it all in your hands, trusting you, believing that everything is going to work out according to your plan. We ask these blessings now in the matchless name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Can we get someone to read Isaiah, the 65th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse? Isaiah, the 65th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And then Isaiah 66, the 22nd through the 23rd verse. Is there anyone here? Hello?
Pastor Sidney,
yes, I'm
Gary.
Yes, I'm here. What do you want, what do you want me to read? Isaiah, yes, Yahuwah, what? Isaiah what?
I like, Mateo, would you read Isaiah 65, 17 through 19? And Jerry, would you read Isaiah 66, 22 through 23? And then, Jerry, you get two. And then Peter 3, verses 7, 10 through 13.
Yes, hold on. Let me grab my glasses, please. You said 17 through 19, correct?
Yes. And then, did you get that, Jerry?
Say it again, please.
66, Isaiah 66. 22 to 23.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Isaiah 17 through 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
Jerry?
Yes, Isaiah 66, 20 through 23, correct?
Yes.
Okay, this is the New Living Translation. And it's, they will bring the remnant of your people back from every nation. They will bring them to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. They will ride on horses and chariots and wagons and on mules and camels, says the Lord. And I will appoint some of them to be my priests and Levites. I, the Lord, have spoken. As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people, with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. All humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read.
Amen.
I'm going to read, says Peter, 2 Peter 3. Starting at the 7th verse and the 10th through the 13th, it says, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So as we go into the study, it's time for our intercessory prayer. Brother Mateo or Brother Jerry would... there's a bishop on there, too. Is either of you like to lead us in intercessory prayer tonight? Everybody don't jump at one time. All right, Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. Are there any prayer requests?
This is Jerry from Maine. I have a prayer request for my best friend. Him and I have been friends for over 30 years, and his father just passed away 3 days ago, and he's just really having a hard time with it. If we could just pray for him for peace, and I've been talking to him and trying to help him through this, and just let him know that, you know, the Lord is with him, and we're thinking about him.
Amen.
His name is Ed.
Pray for Ed.
This is Brother Mateo for me. I'm going to do a prayer request for my mother. Her name is Lily Adams. She's just been diagnosed with a form of cancer that could be in some very vital parts of her body, already in her ears. So I just want to pray for my mom's recovery and some of the issues that she's battling with. Besides that, I just appreciate those prayers if you can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're praying with you. And Jerry, is there anyone else?
This is Dr. Susie. Margaret is with her sister, and she asked for prayer. She's with her sister Eva, so pray for Eva and for Margaret as they are away. Hadn't heard from Shirley, so I don't know her thing, but praying for Shirley and Eric as well. And wanted to ask the question about Lori. How's Lori doing? We need to lift up prayers for Lori.
She's doing okay. She got a new vehicle, but she's all excited because she can actually, she said she can hear the service better and stuff on it with the new Bluetooth that she has in there. So if she's listening
praise
right now.
So let's send a prayer, praise report for her new vehicle. Amen.
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 Yeah. She's not on yet right now. So we want to lift that up. Is there anyone else? I want to say, you know, I asked, I have been dealing with one challenge after the other with the house. And I'm just asking that the Lord might resolve my floors, that they might get fixed, and that the individual who was offering would not back out, that would get done. And that God would just work everything out, and it would all be to God's glory. I also asked, I'm having problems with my left arm, lifting it, moving it. I lifted about 50 sheets of wood 2 days in a row, and it didn't hurt at the time, but it hurts now. And I can hardly raise my arm, so I'm asking, hope I didn't tear anything. I'm asking for prayer for that. And I feel it pop occasionally on a regular basis. It'll, when it starts to hurt, it'll get caught in it. It's like it pops. So it doesn't sound good, but still ask for prayer for healing.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
James is, my son James
Amen.
Is going to school, and he asked for prayer about being able to finish and that he would do that excellently. So we ask him prayer for that and for Sydney.
And I'm going to lift up the families that are impacted by this horrible mass shooting. This doesn't continue, that we just get so used to it. We say, oh, another mass shooting. The devil is alive, and the truth is not in him. So we just continue to pray. The most we can do is the least we can do, and that's pray. And we pray for these family members, these parents, these family members that are impacted by this.
So you might want to clarify what it is you're talking about, because everybody doesn't know.
There was a mass shooting in Texas today.
At a school.
14, at a school. 14 students were killed.
Elementary school.
Elementary school death. So we have to continue to be watchful. Amen. So are there any other prayer requests? Let's pray. Lord, we bless you and we glorify you. We honor you. We adore you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our life. We thank you that you are still on the throne, that you haven't gone anywhere, that you are the refuge and strength, not only in the time of trouble, but every time, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we are your children. And most of all, we thank you that you, Jehovah, you are our God. We bless you and thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for saving and keeping us. And Lord, we lift up these requests before you with Jerry's friend, Ed, Lord. Lord, you said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we pray for comfort for Brother Ed right now during this time of grief at the loss of his parents, Lord. Father, you are able to be a father to the fatherless, Lord. So be his father now. Let Ed know you in a more personal and precious way, Lord. You're able to do it, and I thank you that you're willing to do it in Jesus' name. We lift up Mateo's mother for healing in the name of Jesus, Lord, for not only the cancer but the other issues. Lord, you told us to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And so, Lord, we lift up Mateo's mother right now, and, Lord, that you would be the healer and the comforter right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We lift up Dr. Susie. Her prayer request for Ava and Margaret, Lord, and we lift up Sister Shirley. We miss them all right now, and Lord, we ask that you would be with them where they are in Jesus' name. We thank you for Lori's brand new vehicle, that she's able to hear the program even better. And Lord, we just thank you for the continuing miracle of Dr. Susie's house and how you're continuing to provide and work things out, Lord, and how you're even working out the situation with the floors. And, Lord, you said where three on earth, two or three on earth, agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. So, Lord, we lift up Dr. Susie's house and every issue that everything that needs to get done, that it'll get done, the flooring, everything. And, Lord, heal Dr. Susie's arm, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the healer and you can touch and you have touched and healed us. And Lord, we pray for James as he finishes strong with school. And we lift up Sister Sydney, Lord, give her the desires of her heart, Lord. And Lord, we lift up this nation with all of its divisions and all of, seems like everything has gone crazy and people have caused these actions have caused people to ask where you are, but you are always where you've been, and that's on your throne, overseeing everything, the good and the bad. The word of God tells us that the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing got past you. You're still where you are. And, Lord, you know, we know that you're able to send revival to this land and cause calm come into this hand, into this land. Lord, these parents and these family members that are victims of this mass shooting, Lord God, provide for them comfort, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would get a hold of these people that are doing that are even in the darkest planning their crazy attacks. Lord, thwart them now in Jesus' name. And Lord, please send revival to this land. We know that you're able. We know that you're willing. And Lord, we know that you will. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. and Lord, be with us for the furtherance of this program. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. My heart is going out to the parents of the school. It said that the shooting occurred at 11:30 and that there were 14, let me see, the updated news says that there were, I think it says 14 students, one teacher dead after shooting
mm-hmm.
at the elementary school. It was an 18-year-old high school student that did the killing, and the students, most of the students at that school are from the Border Patrol's family. So a lot of those families were Border Patrol. So the state of Texas is grieving, and we grieve with them. There are 15 students being treated. But we want to pray. We want to keep praying for them through the week. But as we go through our Bible study, we got to know that God is still on the throne, and there are things that are going to continue to happen and challenge us. Even tonight, it was interesting. There were two veterans who wanted to join the Bible study, and because the Bible study didn't start, they probably felt that they couldn't get in. And so this is the third week that they've tried and not been able to get in. So as Bishop always says, the devil is a lie. We're going to keep working at it and keep trying. And we're not going to give up. And it's prayerful that they'll try to call back in. But anyway, as we go on into the Bible study tonight, the questions that we're talking about have to do with the new heaven and the new earth. So what does utopia mean to anybody? What is utopia? Not the cartoon, utopia.
Perfect world.
Yeah, perfect world. And so we understand that there was a Catholic philosopher by the name of Thomas More, right, who was the first person to actually coin the word, and he used it by connecting the Greek term ou, meaning no, with topos, meaning place. And utopia is no place. It's an imaginary place. It's a non-existent society that only lives in our dreams. So it's the perfect place. So we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth. We're talking about perfect place. And so we already know that the Lord created a perfect place, didn't he? Didn't God initially create a perfect place? And that was the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden was paradise, the perfect place. But we lost that perfect place after Adam and Eve sinned against God. And now, according to Dr. Jeremiah, he says that we yearn for its restoration. We yearn to have back that paradise. We yearn to be connected with the original garden. But I wonder, what do you all think about that, if we yearn? Who yearns? Because I see people throwing out trash out of their car, bottles that they drink water out of. I mean, you know, are they yearning? I want to pull people over and do a citizen's arrest. Like, pick that trash up. you know, you can't even do, you know, Jerry was a law enforcement, but, you know, Jerry, even I thought about that, and nowadays people are so crazy, they just take a gun and shoot you. You know, you're going to try to do some, you know. So, you know, it's a new day, in which we're trying to get back to that relationship with God. And it says, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come. your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Dr. Jeremiah says, while this prayer won't fully answer during this time in history, it is the hope that is in all of our hearts that your kingdom will come, God's will be done on earth. And I think he says that we're homesick. We are desiring that intimacy with God, that place where we walk with God, that place where we talk with God, that place where we have that one-on-one relationship, that within us is our desire to have that perfect heaven on earth again that we lost. So what do you guys think about that? You know, it takes us right on to the passage you read, Mateo and Isaiah.
Yes.
What jumps out at you with that text?
I actually believe that the statement you're making is right about people having a yearning, but so many people are overshadowed with what the evil one is doing to us. The blinders are on so bad that people can't really filter out what they actually want. Like a lot of people talk about what they want, but it's not really what they want. It's what they've been told they want. And I really do believe
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Somebody, it's like somebody scratching. We can't hear you.
Okay.
All we hear is
really
scratching noise.
I'm sorry. I really do believe that deep down everyone is yearning for that going back home, that missing of God, that feeling of God. But people's minds are so clouded with what they've been told to think that what they really think doesn't come out. I truly believe that. Because we've been programmed and told what to think, what to believe, what to want. You can watch television for 2 minutes and all of a sudden decide you're hungry when you're not. But the television has told you that. I do believe that inside all of us yearn for that better place. Even an atheist yearns to know God. He's just been taught something different. So that's my opinion on it. I just truly believe that we all do yearn to go back home. We all yearn to meet the Father, to follow Christ. But we're so blinded by the devil, who's done a good job to confuse and lose so many wonderful people.
Amen. Amen. Jerry, what about the passage you read? What did you get from that? What jumped out at you?
Kind of hard to say, to be honest with you. I think all of it is. It's just, it's interesting. I think it's a lot of what he said. People have just kind of come complacent with everything that's going on around them to really notice exactly what's happening in the world.
Amen. Amen. So what I hear, you know, as I'm listening to these texts, is Isaiah is foretelling what's to come, the new heaven, the new earth. And what's interesting, it says the former won't even be remembered to come to mind. We ain't going to think about it. Have you ever had a situation where something was so good that you had something in the past? you had an old boyfriend or old girlfriend who didn't treat you right, and when you got the new wife, you don't even think about her anymore. Because what is in front of you is so good, such a blessing, that never comes to mind anymore. That is past. And God is saying there's going to be something that's so beautiful that we won't even remember the old anymore. And he says, for as the new earth and new heaven, which I make shall remain before me, so shall your descendants and your name remain, because it's coming to pass. It's going to happen. And the whole ideology of why the garden was created in the first place, why was it created? Why were we created and then placed in the garden? For the purpose of what? To worship God. To worship God. And there it is in the text in the 23rd verse. It says, all flesh shall come to worship. me. So that's what the whole big idea is about, having the relationship with God. And that's what the enemy is always desiring. And that's the whole point of the struggle that we have during the tribulation. He's trying to get the people of God to worship him. And like you said, all of that's over. We've passed through the tribulation. We've passed through Armageddon. We've passed through the millennium to the white throne judgment. And now there's a new heaven and the new earth. But listen to this. It says, and this is, I want to know what y'all think about this. The heaven and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away with a great noise. Boom. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Woo! Therefore, since all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything is melting. Everything's blown up. What comes to mind? Bishop, what do you think? What does this sound like to you?
It sounds like maybe a nuclear bomb.
That's what I thought, Bishop. That's exactly what I thought. Anybody else think that? Jerry? Mateo? If you don't think that, what else do you think it could be? What else would you imagine if you don't?
I did think of a nuclear bomb. I did think of a nuclear bomb, but at the same time, I got a crazy opinion on nuclear bombs. I believe that man says and does a lot of things, or say they have a lot of things to keep people from focusing on God's judgment on the earth. So Yah says that there's going to be fireballs, or there's going to be this, it's going to come from heaven and destroy the earth. So that would be counter to a nuclear bomb, which is made by man and sent. Now, I know it uses man, but I think a nuclear bomb, but at the same time, I think of that as a distraction for what Yah's doing. So I know that's a lot, but that's kind of how I see it. But I did think a nuclear bomb, too.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, I was just going to say, I think a lot of the fact that I know I've heard somewhere, or I think I've heard somewhere in my life, that it was going to be the sun. God's going to drop the sun onto the earth and melt away everything with the sun on the earth to start anew. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's hard to wrap my mind around what the actual text is saying, what the Bible verse is saying. It's kind of hard to imagine.
Well, I mean, but when we read the text, it doesn't say how. This is just our speculation. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We know it's going to be quickly. In which heaven will pass away. We know it's going to pass. We know there's going to be a great noise. That piece it says. And it says, we know fire is going to be there. It says, both the earth and the works of the enemy will be burnt. And we know it's going to burn. It didn't at this point say how. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, it says it's dissolving, so we know it's so intense in heat that it's dissolving, what manner of person ought you to be holy, looking for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, meaning it's so hot, everything is melting, being on fire, we know it's on fire, and the elements will melt with heat. It didn't say the sun. It didn't say a bomb. It didn't say... We were just asking, what are the possibilities? Because we don't know. It doesn't say. What it does say is that it's going to be hot enough that things will melt. It says that there will be fire, and it will be called the day of God. And it says, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the element will melt with fervent heat, the elements. So we know that it's going to melt. We know. And we know that those are possibilities. It could be the sun. It could be a nuclear bomb. But that's another thing to think about. As Mateo was saying, you know, could God use humanity to begin to tear down and restore? You know, could, in fact, God just simply say, you know, I'm using the sun I created to destroy it? We don't have that clarity in this text. But it does say in Hebrews 1:10-12, you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You'll fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. So the Hebrew writer is saying, God's going to change everything. God's going to change it. So we know that whatever happens, God is the source of directing things. So let's look at, remember John is the writer of Revelations, and John says in this final section of Scripture, can someone read Revelations 21, 1 through 2? Revelations 21, 1 through 2. Who's going to get that?
21, 1 and 2?
Yes.
I can read it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband.
Wow. Wow. We imagine, right? We're imagining what that would look like. And God allows us to have our imagination and use it, because these words, you know, these word pictures, we're drawing an understanding of the universe is collapsing. You know, everything is disappearing. And God is saying, you know, I'm done with that. I'm done with that old sin. It's like everything is being, I always tell people that when you're doing something new, you just have to let go of the old. You have to flush it and hold on to it. And so God is like, I'm done with that old. I'm getting rid of everything that was there, and I'm restoring and recreating from what I basically had. Now, it doesn't say that it's everything is gone. Dr. Jeremiah perceives that he just restores, he reforms, he takes and makes new from that which was he already had as a premise. So I think he also talked about how there are different traditions, Christian traditions, that think differently. I think he talked about the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists, who felt that everything was going to be destroyed. But he has a perspective where he doesn't believe that everything will be destroyed, but that it will be reformed, refashioned, you know, with what's left. So what do you all think about that little bit right there, that God is going to take everything away, including the sea, including the sea? What comes to mind? What do you think of when you hear that? We got people who are waiting on the Bible study. Okay.
And
we won't remember we're ministering. Go ahead.
Yes. What's going on in my head is all of this started. God wanted, you know, God created us. And then we fell. We sinned. And this new heaven and a new earth is being created because the old one was messed up. And so God's like making all things new. Even the people that are going to dwell in it are going to be brand new. So, you know, out of sin, out of the sin that happened, we were recreated. And God's recreating his world. And it still shows, doesn't that to me, to Bishop Michael, it shows the love of God.
Amen.
Even through all of this, it shows his love. What a loving God we serve. We're not perfect.
Amen.
And we are being perfected, meaning toward, we're growing up. But I just look at, I can see God's love through all of this. That's what comes to mind to me, that he's created a new heaven, a new earth, the old heavens, and they've been passed away. They're done away with. And even the need for the sea, there's going to be something, like, you know, that sea's gone. So, and I love the sea as a sailor. I love the sea, but there's going to be something better than the sea. So there's love and hope
all
that
right.
I can see in the scriptures. But.
Does anybody else have anything that jumps out at them? I want to say something right quick. What jumped out at me is every time I hear that thief in the night, it was something that's done that something to me ever since I was a child about the thief in the night. To me, in your house is scary. A thief coming by and taking. But I know it's the idea that it's quick, that it happens with your not being aware. Because if you knew the thief was coming, it wouldn't be a thief. You'd have counteracted that. So it's because you get caught unaware. So that thief in the night and the great noise, the cataclysmic collapse of everything, the noise that, and the earth is groaning, you know, all the things that are happening, all the elements that are melting, all this stuff that's occurring, it's going to be burned up. And it's amazing to me when I think about Jerry's idea about the sun is so hot that it would cause everything to melt. You know, to me, that's phenomenal to think of things melting, trees melting, rocks melting, everything melting. Ooh, that does something to me.
Dr. Susie.
Yes, sir, I'm Bishop. Yes.
Over in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there are buildings that are still standing from when the United States dropped a bomb on those two cities, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. And there are buildings right now that have the shadow image of people where the nuclear blast captured their image on the wall. It was that fast. It was that quick. There were people that were still walking around with the floral print of what they were wearing is born in their skin as a tattoo. So we can see when we're talking about that fervent heat, that fire, that flash, and they were not prepared for it.
And they what?
They were not prepared. They were not prepared for the bomb to be dropped. They weren't ready. Had they been ready, they wouldn't have been outside. So that's just a little example of what we would see, what would happen when that fervent heat flashes. Comes as a thief in the night. We're not ready. And their shadow image is caught on the side of a building. like a photograph. So that's something to think about. And then he asked the question, what kind of person should you be with this with this coming? What kind of person should how should you act? What manner of person should you be, knowing you've been warned now, knowing that this is going to happen? What manner of person should you be? He makes it personal. What kind of person should Bishop Michael be? I ain't going to talk about nobody. What kind of person should, ma'am?
Well, hopefully you already in heaven.
Amen.
This is for the ungodly.
Somebody said, I don't
want to
see nothing like that. Amen.
Yeah. This is for the ungodly that are left.
Hey, this is Brother Mateo. Dr. Susie, what was your first original question? Because I wanted to answer that. Oh, about the earth.
So I asked.
About the earth being new. I remember. Bear with me here. When I think about the earth being made anew, I think that he's going to do it completely new, because of all the, remember when, I first thing I think of is when Cain killed Abel, the father said that he could hear Abel's blood crying out from the dirt. So if that's what Yah hears, if he hears everyone's blood crying out from the dirt, I believe that he will make this place anew. Because that would be too much. Maybe in our spiritual realm, we're able to hear that as well. I'm not sure. But the point is that with all the sinful things that happened here, all the murder, the blood crying out from the ground, I would believe that Yah would make this place anew to do away with its earth's sinful past. I hope I wanted to explain that better than that, but I think you get the gist.
We get the gist. We got it. And the idea that the blood calling is interesting too, you know, through the dirt. Go ahead, Jerry.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. So as we look at this, it says Dr. Jeremiah talked about, he said when he was younger, he believed that he says that the current earth and universe will be totally annihilated and completely destroyed. And he said he's heard other people teach about how the Lord is just going to wipe out every vestige of the old universe and start over from scratch. And he says he's grown in his understanding, for after years of studying the subject, he feels that the Lord will create the new heaven and earth by renovating, overhauling, refurbishing and reconstituting the old heaven and the earth rather than it being totally annihilated. So the present heaven and earth will be cleansed, glorified, and equipped for our eternal use. Now, for me, however God want to do it is okay with me.
Okay.
But the reality is whatever is left is going to, you know, I get the image of, do you remember how you, the silversmith, how that he continues to let it melt until he can see his image in it? It's not destroyed, but it's purified to the point that until God can see God's self in it. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Until God can see God's self in it, then it's got to keep burning. It's got to keep being purified. Yep. It's got to keep being melted until God can see God's self in it.
Amen.
That's a word right there.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it sure
a word
is.
Right there.
That's a good word, Doc. Good word.
So
my
then
goodness.
He talks about burn up, that the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You know, I'm just so glad I'm going to be already in heaven with the Lord, because this is something else.
Amen.
When you can imagine elements around you because it's so hot that, you know, I mean, how many times have we watched sci-fi movies when people get close to the sun, we just see stuff start to melt because
mm-hmm.
we know how hot the sun is. Right.
Right.
So I you know, this is deep, y'all. Burning away every sin, anything associated with sin, death, and the curse. So when we look at this, it says all the ingrained evidences of decay rot into the earth's crust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially the fossils and the cemeteries, all the other monuments belonging to the long march of death is destroyed. As God created Adam out of the dirt of the ground, so he will recreate the heaven and the earth from the elements remaining after the universe is destroyed by fire. Oh, well. All I know is that it's easy for me to see that whatever happened that was wrong, purified, been cleansed, has been purged. That's what I see, purging. Until God says, I can see myself.
Come on now.
So then we get another indication when he talks about new. Revelation 21:5 says, behold, I make all things new. So what jumps out at you when you start thinking about new? Now, there's two Greek words for new. One is neos, and it says it's the idea of creating something from nothing. And then the other word is kainos, which talks about newness in terms of quality. So then he talks about that it would pass away. Pass away meaning now I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first heaven, and the first earth had passed away. So let's look at what that word means. The Greek word does not mean to cease to exist, but to change form.
Wow.
Now, everything that's melting, right? Everything that's melting is no longer the same. It's melted into something else. It's transformed. It's changed. It's not the same. But God is going to take that which was, create. Hmm.
Dr. Susie, when you were saying that and when you were reading that it changes forms, what came to mind was, you know, those glass blowers, those guys that work as
yes.
glass blowers.
Yeah.
So that the glass doesn't go away, but it's shaped and molded into something beautiful. When you see those glass blowers working that glass, and it's hot to touch and everything, but it's being changed into something. It didn't go away. It didn't cease to exist, but it was made into a new creation. That's what came to mind when you were talking about that.
Right. And he uses the analogy of Noah when the flood destroyed everything, but he recreated. He used what was there, what existed, and that the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by that same word, are going to be reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly people. Ooh. I don't know. To me, when I'm listening to this, I remember when Eric was teaching some of the revelation, he said, y'all, that's some of the stuff you don't want to read at night. You know, I'm thinking about stuff melting. I'm thinking about, you know, it's you know, it ain't got nothing to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when it was just heated seven times hotter than it ought to be. This is extreme heat beyond anything that we can imagine. And God reforming, refashioning, like you said, Bishop, like a glass that's being blown. Wow. Recreating something out of it. Renovating. So all I can say is that I don't have any problems with whatever God wants to do at that point in time, you know, nor do what I care, like I matter anyway. But all I want to make sure is that I'm doing what I need to do to get out of here so that I go the first pass. So because all this stuff is rough. This is some rough stuff. The flood was destructive. The fire is destructive. Everything that happens outside of being with the Lord is destructive, and it sounds painful. And the idea of Bishop saying it happened so quickly that their images captured the flash. Whew.
I can't imagine.
He says this one last thing. You know, y'all awful quiet tonight. I guess y'all didn't get a chance to look at this, but it says, like the resurrection of the body. So notice how this process parallels the resurrection of the human body. When Jesus died and rose again, old body wasn't obliterated, right? Because he showed Thomas, right? He said he could see the nail prints in his hand, right? But in that flash of resurrection power, it was glorified, it was transformed, and fitted for eternity. And so he said that's what is going to happen to our own bodies. Our bodies may decay to dust, but God knows where every molecule is, and somehow God's omnipotent energy, the physical bodies we have now, are going to be resurrected and glorified, equipped for eternal life.
Amen.
I'm excited about a new body. I'm excited about being able to be walking around heaven all day. I'm excited about the gates of pearly gates and the streets of gold. But he talks about this last thing about denying Satan. Let's talk about what that.
Come on now.
It says the final reason for viewing the new heaven and new earth in terms of renovation. He says, I don't believe God intends to give Satan the satisfaction of having irreparably ruined the divine creation. And that's what I think Mateo was focusing on as well. He didn't want to give the enemy any kind of play. But this is God's judgment. Isn't that what I heard you say, Mateo?
Yes, sister. Exactly.
So everything that's being done is God is saying it's going to be done because we as a people rejected the Lord. We as a people did not honor the Lord and honor God. We as a people, those people who were left, chose not to trust in God. And so Satan, if he had been the one to annihilate the world, he'd have been happy, right? So God didn't give him no play. He didn't give him nothing. So he didn't have the opportunity to do that, I believe. And that makes sense to me. Don't give the enemy anything. Don't let him win any kind of victory. You see what I'm saying? God then gets all of the acknowledgement of this devastation. And then Satan, who deceived man, is left looking like, see, you shouldn't have followed him because he's getting ready to be thrown in the lake of fire too. So you and the deceiver are going to be in there screaming, hollering, yelling, gnashing of teeth, hot, burning hell, sulfur smelling. I struggle with the sulfur smell. My shower, because it's on a well, has sulfur smell. I can't stand it. And I'll be like, oh, is it on my skin? But I'm so grateful that my body wash covers that smell. Sulfur is horrible. I'm trying to get y'all, and Jerry, why are you so quiet over there? I'm going to have to call you after the Bible study, ask me why you're so quiet. but really, you know, we got people listening to the Bible study, and they're like, you know, why are you quiet? What is it that's making you quiet? Is it the awesomeness of what's going on? What is it that has your tongue controlled? You and Mateo, why are you quiet? What is it that's going through your mind?
Dr. Susan.
Yes.
This is Charles. How are you?
Praise God, Brother Minor. So y'all wanted to let you know, one of the veterans that's been trying to get on the line made it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Welcome, Brother Charles.
Amen. How you guys doing? Good, good. So for me, as you know, Dr. Sue, I'm just taking it in. So, you know, sometimes you just be quiet and listen, and that's what I'm doing. So I just wanted you to know that I'm on. I just wanted you to know
okay.
that I am on. Me and my wife, we're
Amen.
Both listening.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
So what we've been talking about, Charles, and just a reminder to the radio audience, is after the rapture of the church, the 7 years of tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the return of Christ, the millennium, and the great white throne judgment, God draws the curtain on human history, and the entire universe undergoes a purification, and all evidence of disease is burned up. All evidence of disobedience and sin and sorrow and suffering is destroyed. Come on, somebody. Out of the ruins that are smoldering, God recreates all physical reality, and he brings forth a fresh new universe.
Amen. Amen.
A new heaven and a new earth. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, as I said, when it's purified, God sees God's self in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So,
Dr. Susie.
Yes. Go ahead, Bishop.
Isn't it interesting that when Satan was first cast out of heaven, that the 24 elders kept bowing, God sat on the throne, didn't get up. God didn't throw Satan out of heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That, you know, and it's like showing here in this what you just read, that God doesn't want to even give any play to Satan, denied him. God didn't even, it didn't even catch God's real big attention.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even acknowledge it. So here it is again.
Mm-hmm.
Here you see this whole thing. Satan was no big deal to God. God didn't fight his creation. Mm. God didn't fight him. He used what, and we read in Revelation where it was one angel that threw him into the pit of fire. It was one.
Well,
one angel.
All right, Michael.
See. Mm-hmm. Bless his name. So it's like, when you look at this, and God's made a, you know, he's made a heaven and he's made a new earth. And here's the thing says that there's no evidence that the Lord ever changed his mind about this, but his purpose for redeeming the world was not to abandon us, his creation, but to restore the creation. So whenever God restores something, it's always put back in a place better than its original state. The new heaven and the
Amen.
New earth is going to be better. Amen.
More beautiful
Amen.
Than it was. More gorgeous than it was. And it did, my eyebrow did go up when I heard him say that there were no more seas. But according to Dr. Jeremiah, it didn't mean that there were no more bodies of water when it was all said and done. It's just that the seas
mm-hmm.
were gone. So there was, it could be water still. But it won't be what we know of as water. Like you said, it's always better than it was before.
Dr.
Always
Sumi.
Better than it was before. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Mateo. I think the reason that there won't be any more seas is because the waters are what separated the lands, and it'll be like one landmass. But there's always going to be water above because and different
like the old
versus,
like it was in the beginning. Yes.
Yeah,
when it was more like a terrarium.
Yeah, and like if you read Psalms, there are different Psalms that always says like excellency goes before him and abundance of waters come after him. So there's a significance, a special significance with Yah and water. And even when Yahushua was here, he talked about the living water. Those that drink from his water will never thirst. So I think water's always going to be around. But God and all, Yah and all his wisdom decided to remove the water, and there's going to be a definite reason for it, and we won't know it but we will then.
Right.
But there's always, I agree with you that there's always going to be water, because there's a significance with Yah and water. Our Heavenly Father is always talked about with water. His voice sounds like many waters. Waters follow him. Abundance of waters around him. They surround him. So
but
that's
think about it. Aren't we 80% water? God loves us. We're even 80% water when we were made and created. So there's water again.
And let's not forget the river.
Amen.
The what?
The crystal river.
The what, Bishop? Yes.
The
before
crystal
the throne.
River. Yes.
Right. Absolutely. But what is this point when we talk about the curse? What is that significantly about? And we're going to close. That's the last one it talks about the curse. So we got the curse. And remember when it said that the ground would be cursed and we would not eat of that? The curse is gone. The curse is destroyed. God sent his son into the world to save the world. And that's done. And now the restoration of all things have occurred once God said it's done. The narrative about heaven, we got a new heaven, new earth, the curse is gone, restoration takes place. So as we close tonight, I want, Bishop, I want you to take a second, and if you would extend an invitation, and then I'll close us after that.
What you've heard tonight is a description of something wonderful. Restoration of new heaven and new earth. And perhaps you need to be restored, to be made better than what you are, what you have been. And we want to extend an invitation. The one way you can do that is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, change you. It takes time, but it takes place instantly, and then there's a new thing that begins to happen in you. So if you want that new life, I want you to pray with us. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Please come into my heart. I want to accept you as my Savior, as my Lord. Be the Lord of my life for the rest of my life. Change me. Lord, renew me. Strengthen me. I pray that you would become the Savior of my life and take complete control in the name of Jesus. If you pray that prayer with me, you are born again, and we want to welcome you into the family of God. Get into a Bible-believing church and join us every Tuesday for Love Connection. Back in the hands of Dr. Susie, our host.
Amen. So we are so glad for those of you who joined us with Love Connection. Our radio station goes out over to many different countries, and we want those of you who have made the decision to feel free to call in to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. That's drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Call in and let us know that you accepted the Lord, and we will be most happy to celebrate with you. And if you want to share topics that you'd like us to cover, you can feel free to leave a note there as well. So we ask that you join Love Connection every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that as you join in with us, that you would bring a friend and celebrate during this time. And you can call into the number. That's 646-478-4932. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday, and we look forward to meeting with you next week as we talk about the Holy City of God. Amen. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.